Many of us grew up hearing stories of World War II because it was such a big part of our parents' or grandparents' lifetimes. But the war ended 70 years ago. The people who remember those days are vanishing from the earth. We'll meet two guests in this hour who've been working to refresh the memories of World War II. Lynn Hasselman set out on a project to find out who from Ashland died in the war. Her findings have been contained in a series of columns in the Daily Tidings called We Regret to Inform You. It's like saying Wairika Weed in Mount Shasta. Lynn Hasselman is a writer and researcher in Ashland, has lived here for a couple of years now. Lynn, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Jeffrey.
Tell us about what got this started.
What got it started is I heard the very moving story of Corporal Bud Setchell from his niece, and she spoke so movingly about his service and his death in the Battle of the Bulge. I was struck by the fact that even after all these years, her loss reverberated through her family, and the feelings were still very raw. So I was curious to know how many other men and women, maybe from Ashland, were in the service. And I realized that there, as I researched, there was no listing. There was a Roll of Honor, which was a large three-sided board from the American Legion that went up on Main Street that had 1,200 names of men and women who served, but there were no paper records left.
Really? None whatsoever? No, those were not kept at the local level?
They were kept for Jackson County, but not for Ashland specifically. So I have a young daughter, and I wanted to make sure that this information was passed along to the next generation.
So there were obviously some serious obstacles to getting some good information on the war dead.
Well, paper, it's been an interesting journey because Ashlanders, what I found was they fought in almost every battle and circumstance you can think of. They were in D-Day. They were on Guadalcanal, Okinawa, and Iwo Jima. They were torpedoed in ships that sunk. They were POWs in Germany and the South Pacific, and they were hidden by the Dutch resistance, and they survived the Bataan Death March. So for me, being born during the Vietnam era, it was quite an interesting and moving journey.
We already have some emails here, including one from Dale O'Hara II, who writes, "I would like to publicly thank all the veterans that allowed us to have the wonderful country we do. I'd especially like to thank those from Ashland that included my father, Dale O'Hara, and my uncle, Robert O'Hara. We are quite fortunate to have Lynn Hasselman and JPR for keeping all their memories alive."
Oh, thank you. One of my men that I profiled was Lee O'Hara, and he was killed in a training accident, very tragically, over the Mojave Desert.
So there, you did actually end up with this. So what were you able to uncover? Do you think you finally got to the list of all the people who fought and died?
I sure tried. I researched everything I could. And because we have so many internet resources and there's so many websites of veterans who actually fought and left their memoirs and remembrances, that I was actually able to uncover things that even the families didn't know.
What was the research process like then? I can imagine you spending hours on the microfilm reader.
I did, but I could do a lot of it at home. But certainly the most satisfying was being able to locate family members and talk to them. And Bud Setchell, who I talked about at first, his niece, she invited me over and actually showed me the memories she had of him and his Purple Heart, which I got to touch. The coins he had in his pocket, his tickets from his furlough in London, and all the things he saw and did, the family pictures he carried in his wallet and his wedding ring that was sent home. So all those are very tangible remembrances, and it made it very moving.
Yeah, I was about to ask you how you managed to not get moved yourself.
By this. Oh, I did.
Yeah,
I did. It became very personal. Being from Ashland, you can see the houses where these young men spent their childhood. I live right down the street from the high school, and though it looks different, that's where they went. We have one high school here. The churches are still here, but most of all, the extended families in many cases are still here.
Give us a sense of Ashland in the 1940s. I mean, Shakespeare at its best was summer only then, and it took the war off, so there wasn't even a Shakespeare
festival then. That's right.
The college was here.
Right.
Southern Oregon College.
There was only about 200 students in the college, and it was a teaching school, Southern Oregon College of Education. SOCE was the acronym. Ashland High had about 300 students, and it was a farm town and a mill town. I read that you could sometimes see a tractor driven to school if people didn't have a car. From what I understand, it was about 5,000 people, and it was just a lovely place to grow up. You wouldn't give addresses. You would just give landmarks to get places, like turn right at the barn. And during World War II, it was a huge community effort. I mean, it was an all-out effort. Everybody participated. And it was amazing to read about the organization. Ashland was divided into 18 wards, and this is a town of 5,000, like I mentioned. They had people who trained in battling incendiary bombs. They had high schoolers who, in case of attack, were set to patrol the outside of the school in lockdown. They had women who went to first aid and sanitary classes and learned how to deliver babies. I mean, remember, we thought there might be another Pearl Harbor coming on the West Coast, so it was very serious.
Were there the standard things that happened in a lot of communities in World War II, the scrap drives and the rubber drives?
Exactly, the food rationing. But what I thought was particularly interesting was the ground observation, waiting for aircrafts to come over. And I believe there are at least two, and there might have been three secret ground observation stations here in Ashland that all they did was for 4-hour shifts, 24/7, watch for airplanes and call them in. And the kids in the elementary school made 50 model airplanes, 50 different models, so that they could be used as identification.
Really? Just so they know what the profile looked
exactly.
like and be able to see it against the sky and say that's a...
Exactly. And I do have one funny story that I heard about this.
Okay, let's let that wait on the other side of a break. We'll have to take one now. Back on the Jefferson Exchange in just a few moments with Lynn Hasselman, who put together the series of columns called We Regret to Inform You About Ashland's War Dead in the Second World War. Back with Lynn and your phone calls and emails in a minute five. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Our guest is Lynn Hasselman, an Ashland writer and researcher who decided she wanted to find out more about the young men and women who died in World War II. Now that we're 70 years past that time, she's been running a series of columns in the Daily Tidings newspaper called We Regret to Inform You. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. You're starting to tell us a story about aircraft spotting.
My funny story. A single-engine plane buzzed downtown Ashland and the Elks building in the middle of the day. And, of course, everyone had been told, you know, hunker down, stay inside, don't come out. And everybody downtown basically came out on the sidewalk in the middle of the road to see this plane. And the Ashland Tidings wrote the next day that, quote, they did exactly the wrong thing. Had the plane been an enemy ship, a machine gun or a few bombs could have filled every hospital in this area in a few seconds. So it was quite unusual to have a plane come over, even though I should say that we did have the Medford Airport here, and there was a lot of flight training and pilots flying in and out.
Did anybody ever get the story on what was going on with that one particular plane?
No, he flew over and disappeared. But Ashlanders did not do the right thing. They were supposed to stay inside.
Oh, darn it. let's take a call. We have Lane in Medford on the phone. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Lynn Hasselman. Hi, Lane.
Hello.
Go ahead.
This is Lane Watson. I just wanted to let you know that in search and rescue here in the county, we have a veteran that is 91 years old. He still serves in search and rescue, and he was in World War II.
What's his name?
In fact, he runs the community events program, and he's organized our participation in the Veterans Day parade today. So,
what's his name?
He goes by JP. I don't know what his name is otherwise.
Okay, but in Jackson County Search and Rescue. Okay, thanks for that, Lane. Appreciate that. How much were you able to talk to people who actually did serve in World War II?
I talked to several. I talked to a number of wives who were involved on the home front and also followed their husbands to different training bases.
Tell us a bit about, I imagine you spent a fair amount of time reading the Daily Tidings
Absolutely.
From the World War II period.
Absolutely.
And I'm just curious to know, after a while, it's almost like anything that's a state of emergency tends to be taken as standard and fade a bit into the background. So I wonder how much of the daily news was about the war and how much of it was about stuff that happened in Ashland, the city council, you know, what the sanitation department was doing.
A surprising amount was about the war, what was going on the home front. So many auxiliary committees that did various things, knit, did packages for the boys, sent overseas. One of the interesting anecdotes is the Ashland Tidings office was downtown, and they would take the, what do you call it, ticket type, the type that came in off the machine and paste it in the windows. And so people would gather around there to read the news as it came in on the war.
We have another email for you here from Kurt Stouffer. He says, I'm very elated to see the Ashcraft Brothers story being told on Daily Tidings and on the Jefferson Exchange Program on Veterans Day. I thoroughly enjoyed helping Lynn Hasselman by providing copies of original photos and some research for the article she wrote. What she's doing is so important for future generations. There are not many World War II veterans left. Kurt continues, I've been a preservationist and collector of World War II memorabilia since I was a young child growing up in Canyonville. Much of what I have acquired has come from the families themselves or from auctions or antique shows. I do not take the collecting of this type of material lightly. It's not like collecting baseball cards, he writes. You're preserving and highlighting the memories and lives of men so tragically lost over 70 years ago. The Ashcraft brothers had strong ties to Canyonville, which is what drew me to preserving the items that belonged to them. Thanks for that email to Kurt Stouffer.
This was a quite interesting connection because the Ashcraft started here in Ashland, and Norman Ashcraft was a former teacher at Ashland High School, and he and his wife Ethel lost all three of their sons within a year of each other in the service before they moved to Canyonville. So our historical paths really crossed, and Kurt was able to share some wonderful pictures for me. You can still see the granite memorial to the three boys in the Mountain View Cemetery, and right next to the grave for their parents.
That, I understand, was part of the difficulty in doing this mission was there were people who had connections to Ashland, might have lived here for a long time, but by the time they enlisted, they were no longer living in town officially.
Absolutely. Many people moved, and I had the census to go on, you know, which was basically the 1940 census. So my goal was to get as many people who had ties to Ashland. Either they worked here, they spent their childhood here. Most of the men graduated from Ashland High, and a lot of them went to Saki.
So, it's weird to hear that name. It was people were still calling it Sock when I moved here 30 years ago, but Saki sounds just
that's right. That was the previous iteration.
Sure. You mentioned the town was about 5,000 people. You talked about some of the basic things that were going on in town. Do you have a good reporting from the Tidings of what went on VJ Day in August of 1945?
Absolutely. At 4 o'clock, it was announced in Ashland, and the Ashland City sirens went off. Signs went up outside buildings and houses. VJ Day is here. Much celebrating car horns because people didn't have to worry about gas rationing. People drove down the street. It was a huge amount of celebrating, banging pots and pans, etc.
Did you find any pictures like the famous sailor kissing nurse in Times Square?
Oh,
enacted locally?
Wish. No, there are not that many that exist.
Yeah. Not many pictures from that day?
Well, yeah, correct, in Ashland. I couldn't find any. I just read firsthand accounts. Oh, and I should say the churches were open. As soon as it was announced, they opened for prayers, and they had church services that night of Thanksgiving.
At a period in history when Americans at least proclaimed themselves to be more religious, I'm just curious to know if the town was more heavily churched back in 1945 than it is today, perhaps.
I think so. I think it was. For instance, I was able to find at Trinity Episcopal Church, which I think has been going since the 1880s or something, they found in their church basement a hand-signed listing of all their members who were overseas asking for prayers. And many of the memorial services were carried on at either Trinity Episcopal or the Methodist Church here, which is also very old.
Wow, you got into a lot of dusty basements looking for records,
didn't
you? I
did. I enjoyed the hunt, but I enjoyed the personal connection.
And so one of the other stories I wanted to bring up here, because I just noticed this, Second Lieutenant Fred Scheer,
mm-hmm.
looks like he was in the Army Air Force.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he was.
What was his story?
He was... Let me find it here. his plane was shot down, and he was the pilot of his plane. And he, even though he was injured, he was able to hold the plane steady to make sure his men bailed out. And I believe there were two other men with him, his crew, that did not make it out. And Fred went down with the plane, but he was able to get the rest out.
And then Sergeant Maynard Clifton was in D-Day, apparently.
He was in D-Day with the 101st Airborne, which is the Band of Brothers, if you remember the book and the movie. He graduated from Ashland High. He was a member of the debate team, rather short-statured, and he really wanted to be a pilot, but he missed the cutoff by an inch, so he decided to become a paratrooper. And he was dropped behind enemy lines on D-Day, was captured on the ground, shot in the scalp, had a piece of his helmet embedded in his head. Because he was part of the medical attachment, he was taken by the Germans to a German prison hospital, where for 3 days he and his battalion surgeon, who had a broken ankle, treated Germans and American wounded. And Damon helped secretly stock the Americans with weaponry, the Americans that were wounded and unable to defend themselves. And so he stole weaponry in case they needed to defend themselves from their bed.
So were you able to come up with a number? I mean, from a town of 5,000, how many people ended up not coming home from World War II?
Well, at least 57, which was really surprising, because Ashland High had a plaque given by the class of 41 that listed 12 graduates. And I just thought there were probably more. So as I began to follow this thread, I uncovered more and more stories. And you can't just stop at one. I mean, this was too important, and I felt too connected. So I followed it as far as I could. And I know there's still more out there that I wasn't able to find.
How many columns altogether ended up in the Tidings?
14. Mm-hmm. Last one is today.
All right. It's been a real interesting effort, for sure. Worthwhile, it sounds like, from
Thank
your perspective
you.
As well.
Very moving. Taught me a lot.
Lynn Hasselman is an Ashland writer and researcher. Her columns under the title We Regret to Inform You cover the World War II dead of Ashland in a number of columns that, as you just heard, end today. Thanks so much again for joining us on the
Thank
Jefferson
you,
Exchange.
Thank you, Jeffrey.